This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Minister, Presbyterian minister, I don't know his name, ministers in Winnipeg, Manitoba, in Canada, writes about his dad's seminary experience, and he writes this: "My dad has a story from when he was in seminary about a class discussion in which the professor was discussing what it meant to have faith like a child. One of the students said, 'Well, children are so innocent and humble, right?' The professor's response was, 'You don't have any children, do you? You don't have any children, do you?' Children are innocent in a lot of ways and can be innocent acting, but the professor went on to say that children sometimes can be anything but humble. In fact, this author says this: "A big portion of my childhood was spent figuring out who was the best at various games. Who's the fastest? Who's the strongest? Who's the best at this particular sport? Who could beat up so-and-so if he got in a fight?" All of this sounds kind of awful, he says, but it wasn't really that bad. It was just a part of being a 9-year-old boy. Part of being a 9-year-old boy. Let me tell you something, though. It's not just 9-year-old boys that boast. Young people who grow up into men and women in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s can be people who boast. What are the things that people brag about or boast about? I think there's three that are identified in our scripture today. I think they cover them all. That anything you can think about that you boast about will fall under one of these three headings. Number one, we boast about what we know or who we know. We boast about what we know or who we know. We boast in what we do or what we've done or what we're going to do. Things we've done or we're going to do. And thirdly, we boast in what we have. What we possess or what we're going to have or possess. And I think anything that you identify as boasting in anybody's life will fall under one of those three headings. And that's what the prophet Jeremiah talks about people who boast in knowledge, wisdom. They boast in what they do and their strength. They boast in what they have and their possessions. And then Jeremiah comes along and says, but I want to tell you something. If you're going to boast, you really need to boast in the Lord. You really need to boast in the things that matter to the Lord. And then he gives us three things that matter to the Lord so that you can understand and know him better. And I find it intriguing to know that it's possible to understand and know the Lord. You know, don't ever come to church with this attitude that God is too big for me to understand. Don't ever come to church with the attitude, well, that's for theologians, that's for people that teach the Bible. Jeremiah says, you can understand the Lord. And you can know him just by discovering what he delights in. Well, the Lord wants you to do that not as an act, not as a scam, but as something that's real in your life, that you really are interested in the three things that are mentioned today. Let's read it in Jeremiah 9 as we continue this series. This is what the Lord says. I love that statement. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches or money. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." I love the phrase that Jeremiah begins with because it's so crucially important. Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. He doesn't say, let me give you my interpretation of things. Well, plenty of people to tell you and me what they think. We're going to look at what the Lord says. All this week in Jeremiah 9, our website is crosshope.org. I love the phrase that Jeremiah begins with because it's so crucially important. Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. He doesn't say, let me give you my interpretation of things. There's so many speakers and preachers and teachers today that are more than happy to tell you what they think. And here's my spin, and here's my take on this issue, and here's what I feel that we should be doing about this, this, and this. And there's power when somebody just gets up and says, this is what God says. This is what the Word says. And I always want to be a preacher who references, this is what the Lord says, because my opinion really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what I think about anything. What matters is that the God of creation has spoken, get this, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and God has spoken through His Word. And so every message, in a sense, we get up and say, this is what the Lord says. Well, let's look at the three things that people boast in. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. It's talking about bragging about knowledge. You know, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, that's read at a lot of weddings, talks about what knowledge and wisdom does to people. It puffs people up. Who does it puff up? The person who possesses the knowledge. Have you ever felt superior to somebody because in the family, because you had knowledge of something that was going on? You don't know what I know. You're in the dark, pal, and I know something that you don't know. And sometimes having knowledge gives the feeling of superiority to the person who holds the knowledge. And Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Robert Sternberg was a psychologist for years at Yale. He now teaches at Tufts University, T-U-F-T-S, Tufts University. He says there's more to life than intelligence, and people who forget that are likely to be doomed to limited and unhappy lives. Do you get what he just said? There's more to life than intelligence, and people who forget that are likely to be doomed and limited to unhappy lives. You take pride in your knowledge? You take pride in what you know at work? You take pride in your training? Do you take pride in your skill set? Do you take pride in what you can do? And we all can do that, whatever field we're in. And the Lord comes along and says, if you're going to boast, don't boast in what you know. Don't boast in your wisdom. And you say, why would the Lord tell us not to boast in these three things? Is it because we'd be better people if we didn't boast in wisdom and what we do and things? Is it because we'll just be nicer to live with? No, because God doesn't want you to have another God. That's why. He doesn't want you to have an idol in your life. He doesn't want me to have an idol in my life. You tell me what you boast in and might be able to tell you what you worship. I might be able to tell you what you worship because we usually, or not always, but sometimes worship that which we boast in. What's the second one? The strong man shouldn't boast of his strength. I can't remember the last time I talked about David and Goliath from the Old Testament. You remember that story when the Philistines confronting the Israelites, and instead of having this big battle with mass casualties, Goliath comes forward and said, you send your best soldier to fight me, and whoever wins, that's the winner. You win the battle, the whole battle, just determined by one person taking on another person. And Goliath perhaps was 7, 8, 9 feet tall, according to some Bible scholars. And David, a little boy, 12, 13, 14 years of age, takes 5 small stones, but has the hand of God upon him. I want to ask you this question. Do you think Goliath was having a bad day when he lost? No. Is it God was able to take a boy who said, I stand with the Lord, the battle is the Lord's, is what David said. This is the Lord's battle, not my battle, which is a word for somebody today. You've been trying to fight your own struggle for years, and you need to say the battle is the Lord's. This is God's fight, not just my fight. Marilyn French wrote a book called Beyond Power. She says the money you hold in your hand can be devalued overnight. The gold you may buy and store up could be worthless and not tradable for a head of cabbage if there was a nuclear war. Rank can be a burden to maintain without resources. A huge military establishment can disintegrate in a matter of days. A huge economic structure can collapse in a few weeks, as happened in the Depression of 1929, which affected every industrial nation on the earth. Power is not the end, it's only a means to an end. The ultimate power that you and I need to seize in life is the power of forgiveness and the power of the cross. You want to get into power? You need to be interested in those two, the power of Christ and the power of forgiveness in your life and in the lives of other people. The third one is intriguing to me. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. What is the temptation for you in terms of boasting about what you have? Now, for some people, it may not be a temptation at all, and that's great. But at some point in life, we can brag and we can boast and delight in what we have or what we're going to get. And yet everything in this world is temporary. Louis Everly was a Belgian theologian and a priest and writer. And he said, too many people make the mistake of seeking one more material thing, one more pay raise, one more promotion, one more problem solved, one more degree, one more handicap overcome. If only I would have this, if we only get this house or that car, then we'll be happy. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you tie your happiness to one more thing. You understand what I mean by that? I know you do. Don't ever get to the place in your life where your happiness, your future happiness, is tied to getting one more thing, one more automobile, one more house, and then we'll be happy. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. I want to focus in on this next phrase in verse 24, if we could bring that up. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. First of all, I want to talk about those two words, that we are to understand and know the Lord. Now, what's intriguing to me, Jeremiah presupposes it's possible for you and me, just regular people, to have a knowledge of the Lord. And it's possible for me to say, I understand the Lord. And it's possible for me to know the Lord. But I want you to notice those are two different words. Understanding has to do with intellectual comprehension and understanding something intellectually. And we're to understand the Lord. How do you do that? Through his word, primarily. The more you read of the word, the more you find out about the Lord, and the more the Lord's spirit inhabits your life. I really believe that. I was talking to a man recently who said he's reading the Bible for the first time, and he was talking about all the life change that's happening since he started reading the Bible. That's not an accident. God works through his word. So you want to have an understanding of the Lord? Big announcement here. Start reading the word. Start reading the Bible. But then the word know is there. I found out in the Hebrew, it's the word yada. You ever heard the phrase yada, yada, yada? It means to know, to know, to know. You know, you know, you know. And it has to do with experiential knowledge. It's the word that's used in the Old Testament to describe the relationship between Adam and Eve. And it says Adam knew his wife, Eve. Well, everybody knows what that means. Everybody understands what that means. And so I'm to have an understanding of the Lord intellectually, but I'm also to have a knowledge of him that comes from experience in relating to him. How? Through prayer, through reading his word, through loving him. You usually know the people you love, and you love the people you know. And so I'm to have an understanding of the Lord intellectually, but I'm also to have a knowledge of him that comes from experience in relating to him. How? Through prayer, through reading his word, through loving him. Tell me who you love in life, and I'll tell you who you know. You usually know the people you love, and you love the people you know. And so we're to have an understanding that's intellectual, but also a comprehension that's based on experience. I've told this story before, but it's my favorite story to illustrate that very point. I had a cousin named Ronnie who died just a few years ago. Ronnie was a dermatologist in Chicago, had a very successful practice. What happened to Ronnie was just this unbelievable situation. When he was in medical school, he contracted polio. And so Ronnie spent all of his career as a doctor in a wheelchair. He treated patients from his wheelchair. He would carry a portable ventilator underneath his wheelchair. And I can remember Ronnie coming to family weddings and gatherings, and he would put that ventilator up to his mouth and expand his lungs. His whole life was impacted by his disease called polio. Now, here's my theory on Ronnie. Ronnie, in my opinion, knew more than 95% of the doctors in the whole world. He knew more than 95% of doctors about polio for this reason. He understood it intellectually. He read everything he could get his hands on, any study that was done, any research that was done. He had the documents, and his library was full of material on polio. But Ronnie knew about polio. Why? Because he lived with it. When he got up in the morning, he knew, I've got polio. When he went to work, he knew, he had an awareness of his polio. When he went to bed at night, he had an awareness of his polio. So he understood it intellectually, but he understood it because he knew it experientially. And that's the kind of relationship you and I are to have, get this, with the living God. Now, here's the most surprising part of all of this message to me. I don't know if this struck you. Jeremiah says, you need to delight, and I need to delight in the three things that are important to the Lord. Of all the things that the Lord could say, these are the most important. Isn't it interesting what's mentioned? Kindness. Where'd that come from? Kindness? Yeah, kindness. Justice and righteousness. Those three things matter to the Lord. Now, here's this big announcement again. You want to do something that matters, you start delighting in what the Lord delights in. Let's talk about kindness for a minute. Isn't it interesting that Jeremiah would say this is the first thing the Lord delights in, simple kindness? Folks, there's something wrong when a husband shows more kindness to a waitress at a restaurant than he does to his own wife and children. It happens all the time. There's something wrong when a wife and mother shows more compassion and caring and interest in a clerk at the store or at the mall, and yet doesn't show that same level of concern and compassion and graciousness to her own husband or her own children. There's something wrong when parents are gracious to everybody else's children but their own. And gracious to everybody else's family but their own. And so I want to suggest to you, this may be a revelation for somebody today. You want to have a relationship with the Lord, start getting interested in kindness in your own life. Why? Because the Lord delights in it. I want to be into what the Lord delights in. I want to get involved in what makes the Lord happy and what He's interested in. And He delights, number one, in kindness.
Well, I don't know about you, but I find that amazing that that's the first thing that Jeremiah mentions, that the Lord delights in kindness. We'll go into the second one, justice and righteousness, tomorrow on Cross Hope. I want you to hear it. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Cross Hope.
The second one is justice. And I know in this day and age, people will politicize that statement and say, yes, we need to be interested in political justice. I've got a news for you. It has nothing to do with political justice. It has to do with personal justice, one-on-one with people. People talk about justice in society when they need to be talking about justice in their own family. And people talk about justice at work and in the city government and in the state government and justice in the federal level. We need to talk about justice in our own circles of influence. Justice means doing the right thing and treating people rightly and being fair, etc. That matters to the Lord. And the third one is righteousness. Righteousness is one of those words that people always assume has some big religious connotation, and righteousness is a simple thing that means to be in a right relationship with the God who made you. You are in a right relationship with God the Father through the Son. That's righteousness. I never, and I mean I never, in preaching, use what's called a fairy tale story. I just don't. That's not my style, but I'm going to do it today. I'm going to tell an imaginary story that has been attributed to Indians in New York State, Oneida Indians. It's been attributed to Russia. It's been attributed to different cultures around the world. I'm just going to tell the story and make the point. One day, a crow was flying over a beautiful blue lake. Down in the clear water, he saw a crawfish. The hungry crow swooped down and snatched up the crawfish and carried him into the forest, where he landed on the branch of a tree. The crow wanted to sit there and enjoy his lunch. The crawfish knew that he was in serious trouble. He didn't want to be eaten, but he didn't see any way of escape. Suddenly, the crawfish yelled out, "Crow, your mother and father fly over my lake often, and I saw that they were really good. Good crows." Without opening his mouth, the crow grunted, "Uh-huh." Again, the crawfish cried, "I knew your brothers and sisters. I watched them catch fish in the lake. They're all so good." Again, the crow answered without opening his mouth. The crawfish went on saying, "Everyone in your family is good. However, they cannot compare to you. You're the most clever of all. In fact, you're the most clever in all the world." The crow liked these words so much that he couldn't resist and began to caw at the top of his lungs to the whole world that he was the most clever of all creatures. In doing so, he opened up his mouth, released the crawfish, who fell safely back into the water. The crawfish wisely instructed his children to avoid the dangers of boasting. Now, that's a stupid story. But let me tell you something. You will remember it at 4 o'clock today. And you will remember it at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And you will remember it in times when you're tempted to caw like the crow. And you may remember it this week when you're tempted to boast in what you have, what you know, and what you've done. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God will come upon you through His Word, and He'll speak to you about, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast of his strength. Let not the rich man boast of what he owns or his money. But let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, that he understands me and knows me and delights in the three things that matter to him: kindness, justice, and righteousness. I'm embarrassed to say this because I really feel convicted about this, but I cannot think of the last time in any sermon I've ever given where I've encouraged people to memorize passages of Scripture, and I feel guilty about that. I really do. I'm not just saying that. Here's a good starting place. Two verses that you could commit today. I'm going to memorize two verses of the Bible, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. And it just may make a difference in your life. It may make a difference in your marriage. It may make a difference in your family.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.